Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Dominee Schurer, de oude dominee, spreekt straks in de kerk over het feit dat als je een ijzersterk goed idee hebt, dat je daar een succes van kan maken. En dat heeft ook met geloof te maken. Geef nooit op. En dan Brian Johnson, een dominee die zijn gemeenteleden hielp om een truck met podiummaterialen uit te laden. Onder de materialen terechtkwam, zijn nek brak en nog maar 2% kans had om ooit te kunnen lopen. Wat er met hem gebeurde, vertelt hij zometeen in de Crystal Cathedral. En dan als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland, geen Nederlander, maar iemand van Down Under, helemaal vanuit Australië, onze internationale directeur van Hour of Power. Het gaat een bijzondere uitzending worden en ik hoop dat je enorm zult genieten. We gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Join us today for the best hour on television, The Hour of Power with Robert Schuller. Turn around, shake hands with somebody behind you, in front of you, or next to you. Give them our greetings. God loves you, and so do I. Ah, this is wonderful to come into church with so many people and have somebody touch you and say, God loves you and so do I. That's a fabulous thing. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, this is a different place, God. We can see the sky. The heavens declare the glory of God. Yes, this is a place, Lord, where people come even before they can really be strong believers. And they're loved and admired and respected just as much as the outspoken Christian. And now, God, we've come together, we'll sing together, and we'll become one family of love. Amen.
As I was preparing to read the scripture this morning, a thought occurred to me, and that is that, actually, it saddened me to think that there's many, many people here this morning that are sitting here listening to me right now that probably aren't feeling the love of God, and that maybe don't even have Jesus in their life. So my prayer for you today is as you listen to these words from the Apostle John, taken from 1 John chapter 4, that you would feel the love of Christ in a new and fresh way today. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Amen.
Someone I want to introduce you to. His name is Brian Johnson, and he is my guest today. He is a pastor from Lake Elsinore, California. And on October 5th, 2005, he had a horrible accident. It left him paralyzed. He was in the hospital for 40 days, and the doctors told him he would never walk again. But the reason he's only in the hospital 40 days is because he walked out of the hospital, proving that God is greater than any challenges we might face. So would you please welcome to the Crystal Cathedral, Brian Johnson. Brian? God loves you. And so do we. So October 5th, 2005, that's a little over 2 years ago.
That's right. A little over 2 years.
Something pretty serious happened.
Yep.
What happened? Tell us about it.
Well, first of all, thank you for having us here. My wife and I are so grateful to be here and to be able to tell our story to your audience, both here and across the world. My wife and I planted a church with the Christian and Missionary Alliance just about 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago. And it was interesting when we first moved out to the area. Our church is called Tithes Church, but people mistook it for Tithes Church, like tithes and offerings. So we,
it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, we got our answer as to why people weren't showing up. So it was October 5th, 2005, and it was a day just like any other day, just like today. And I remember sitting at my office, and I got a call from my mom. She was house-sitting for my brother and watching his children. And we had ordered a large amount of staging, thousands of pounds of staging equipment for our church. We met in a cafeteria of a high school. And the staging was delivered. My mom was there to receive it, but she needed somebody to come and help so that we could get it in the right place. And so I showed up to my brother's house. The truck had already backed into the driveway. And the truck driver asked if I would assist him. So I found myself in the back of the truck, and I was staring at thousands of pounds of staging. It's those 4 feet by 8 feet pieces. And
so these like steel beams?
Yeah, they're the platforms that you set up and the band would stand on.
Sure.
Yeah, and so before I knew it, I heard these words that I'll never forget: watch out. And as I looked up, all of it fell on top of me, thousands of pounds, and hit my head, slammed my head into my sternum, and literally I heard my neck break. And immediately I lost all feeling in my body. I fell like a rag doll, and I was pinned underneath all of this staging. And immediately when your spinal cord is injured, you lose everything, including your breath. And so I lost my breath. As soon as I hit the ground, I heard the truck driver say, "Are you okay?" I said, "I've broken my neck and I can't breathe." And that was it. I really believed that that was when I was going to die, that everything was done. I was going to be in heaven with the Lord. And then right at the last minute, I regained my breath. I heard my mother call 911. My wife showed up with our 2-week-old son. We had just given birth not long ago. And she jumped in the back of the truck with me, and we prayed and wept together and just were totally confused as to what had happened. The ambulance showed up, whisked us away to a local hospital. They couldn't treat me there, so they life-flighted me over to Loma Linda University Hospital, where within hours they put a halo on my head. I'm convinced. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, how did you survive not being able to breathe that long?
Well, it had been 30 seconds, and I really felt myself getting ready to black out. And then, whether it was the breath of God or whether my body just kicked in, I choose to believe that it was a miracle of God that I just started breathing. And it was asthmatic breaths, very abbreviated, but enough to keep me alive, keep oxygen in my body. So they put the halo on, they tractioned me and got my vertebrae all lined up, and then they pulled my wife aside, unbeknownst to me, and told her that it would be hopeful that I would ever move again. In fact, they said, we'll give him a 2% chance that he will ever move again. Forget about walking. So
they weren't expecting you to be able to move your fingers, your toes, your hands,
nothing.
Your feet, nothing.
Nothing.
They believed that you would be paralyzed from the neck down based upon their scientific...
That's right.
X-rays and MRIs. The best of their knowledge, and the MRIs and everything that
That's
they
right.
did.
That's right, yeah.
So That wasn't the case, though, was it?
No, no.
We know it because you're standing here in front of us.
That's right. It was amazing. There were so many miracles along the way. On the way to the hospital in the ambulance, I really had the question in my mind, God, where the bleep are you? I mean, this was really an intense time for me, of facing the possibility of being paralyzed the rest of my life, never moving again, never holding my children again, never holding my wife again, never doing anything that I used to do. I love playing golf, and one of my passions in life, and never being able to hold a golf club again. So I said, God, where are you? And when you cuss at God, he responds quite quickly. Not that I'm advocating that, but I got to the hospital.
He knows you're serious.
He does. He sure does. And we got to the hospital, and immediately they wheeled me in to bed number 7. And I thought, God, you're here. Thank you. But the real miracle, Dr. Schuller, was, of course, getting my movement back. On the 6th day, I began to move my fingers. And the doctors said, oh, those are just nerves. And I said, no, really, look, I can, play a tune, And I started to move my fingers back and forth. And then I started to move my toes and waggle my feet. And they said, well, let's get you into rehab. And I'll tell you, with the help of my angels, my wife, Deborah, my mother, Kathy, and my mother-in-law, Patty, I walked out of that hospital 40 days later.
What effects have your faith had on this whole thing?
It's impacted me tremendously. I know now what it means to suffer, what it means to relate to those who are suffering. And I believe that that's the ministry of Christ. He reached out to those who were suffering. In fact, I believe if you haven't suffered to some degree, whether it's spiritually or physically, it's impossible really to understand what Jesus wants us to do here on the earth. I was 33 years old when this took place. And we know that Christ was 33 when his ministry ended. He had both the greatest year of ministry and the greatest time of suffering. Our church grew to up over 300 in just a little over a year. And so we were riding the wave, 33 years old. And then I was in the hospital for 40 days, which was the amount of time that Jesus was in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And went through that really tough time only to come out victorious on the other side. And then finally, he endured suffering. He wore a crown of thorns. And I wore a halo with screws into my skull. And it was like God was telling me, you're experiencing a little bit of what my son experienced. Now, I have no clue what it means to carry the sin, the weight of the world's sin on my heart. But I know what it is to carry my own sin, and even that is too much to bear. So it's been my life's desire and purpose to help people get free of that sin by accepting Jesus Christ in their hearts.
And so you've been doing that ever since.
I've been doing it.
And God is good. He's answered a lot of prayers. He'll continue to. He's been through us through many trials, and he'll continue to guide us through every one we face.
Thank you.
So would you mind if we have a prayer
Absolutely.
With you a moment?
Be great.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brian. We thank you for his ministry. We thank you for what you're doing in his life. And we pray that as many people hear his testimony and what you've done through his life, that it will give them faith and hope to be able to realize that you're here, that you're active in people's lives, that you want to make a difference.
Yes.
And so we thank you, Lord, for everything, and we praise your name always. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Brian.
Thank you.
past het lied in de week voor Pasen. When I survey the wondrous cross. Als ik het wondere kruis aanschouw bij Christus stierf. Prachtig lied gezongen door het koor van de Crystal Cathedral. En ik blijf het zeggen, wat kunnen ze geweldig zingen. We zijn echt blij dat we vanmorgen een speciale gast hebben. Hij komt uit Australië en hij is de internationale directeur van Hour of Power. Hour of Power zendt uit vanuit Amerika, maar heeft kantoren over de hele wereld. En John Townend, want daar heb ik het over, is verantwoordelijk voor de internationale vestigingen, waaronder Nederland. John, good morning.
Hello, Jan.
How is it from to come all the way from down under?
Very easy. You yes. get on a plane and the next thing you get off and you're here. It's
John Townend, you run the ministry in Australia and you're responsible for all the ministries worldwide. Is that a heavy task, a happy task?
It's a happy task. And no, it's not heavy, but it keeps you busy. You know, the great thing about anything that works well is the team you build up. And we are building up wonderful teams around the world. And that's what makes it work.
Can you give as a global perspective of Hour of Power worldwide?
Well, yes. I mean, Hour of Power, as you know, started 38 years ago in the US, coming from then the Garden Grove Community Church. And then the next place it went to was Australia. Dr. Schuller was always keen to grow the ministry. I mean, his vision is worldwide ministry. So it began in Sydney in October 1976. And then in 1978, it went to Canada. And I think it was then it came into Europe after that with an Australian, Rupert Murdoch, offering Dr. Schuller free time through. Then it was called Sky Channel, yeah. And now it's B Sky B now. And it was actually called Super Channel when I think about it. And that was the first television telecast across Europe from a satellite. And it was meager starting, but of course it's grown into a huge ministry now in Europe. And the Netherlands has been an outstanding success. I mean, I remember the day in 1999 when you came into my office in February and said, I think we can go back on air in the Netherlands. RTL5 want to put us on. And remember we talked about it, and April 1st, 1999, it came to air here in the Netherlands. We're now in Switzerland, Germany, through Austria, and through CNBC, we reach most of the Middle East and most of the countries of the USSR, the former USSR, and many other European countries. But in those countries, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Germany, we actually have a ministry in the country. The UK is the same. And the other outstanding thing was, when in our early growth, was Russia. What an extraordinary story where God used this ministry in such a powerful way. Dr. Schuller, you know, went there and they offered him a farm because he came from a farming background. They thought they'd give him some land. He said, I don't want the land. He said, that's not what we do. We want to inspire people. We want to encourage people to do their very best. And so what they did was start the Russian Farm Project, where they kept the Russians kept the land, and Dr. Schuller set up a committee, and they developed ways in which they could show the Russian people how to get greater production.
Until this day, the farm is there.
The farm is the largest rural enterprise in Russia, selling, not only growing, but selling to supermarkets. You can go into a supermarket in Russia and buy the product that comes from the Russian Farm Project. Fantastic.
Let's go to Russia's neighbor, China.
Yes. Well, that's just very near and dear. What's happening there is extraordinary too. Again, a miracle. And this year, 2008, we're starting our first full-time office in China. Now, are we broadcasting our power in China? Well, no, we're not. But that's our vision, that's our goal, that's what we're going to do. But at the moment, the country, the government, is not ready for it. In fact, we are reaching into China from Hong Kong. We started Hong Kong in 2001. And an outstandingly successful ministry. I the number of people that are tuning in that state, in that country, and now the broadcasts go into the southern part of China.
What is your personal goal? Why do you do this?
I have seen in ministry after ministry after ministry around the world the same reaction that you'll be getting here in Holland from people. This ministries changed my life. It saved my life. Dr. Schuller says it. It's the truth. You see it in the letters, in the telephone calls, in the emails you get. It really has the ability. I don't know what it is. I mean, the secret ingredient is God is using this ministry in a remarkable way. It crosses countries. It crosses continents. It crosses cultures. It helps people at their point of need. That's what I love about it.
What do you foresee for the near future? We have over 40 million viewers worldwide every Sunday. But what is the dream for the future?
We were at a board meeting last week, and we thought, you know, we're all talking about 40 million people, but how many people are there in the world? There are 6-7 billion people?
Almost seven.
You know, it's enormous. And the fact is that through television, through this medium, probably everyone can get it somehow. On a screen that they carry in their pocket, on a television screen, through the internet, whatever it is, they can probably get it. Our dream is to get this program on every screen in the world. And it's possible. It was a dream that Dr. Schuller had 15 years ago. Then it was impossible. But now it's possible. We can get through technology, we can get there. And why do we want to do that? Because we know it impacts people's lives dramatically. I mean, I'm sure people who are watching us now could tell us exactly how this program has made a difference in their lives. So what we think we should be doing is asking the 40 million people to pray. Pray that God will open this ministry up to those over 6 billion people who aren't watching it, to find it and listen and see what the potential God, the God-given potential they have in their lives, and put it to good. This ministry can bring peace, it can bring power to people, and it can bring a spirit of love that we need in this world, spirit of Jesus Christ.
And if you look at our ministry in the Netherlands, we have reason to be very thankful. 2 hours of television since the beginning of this year. So many people who support us, who pray for us, who help us, a great team of volunteers, a great team in our office in Laren, headed up by Louis Paul, our director. So many things to be very thankful for.
And the number one show pony has got to be the Dutch ministry. I think what you've done in this country is remarkable. It's a stand-out alone ministry. It has done so well. People clearly love it. The way in which you've integrated, I mean, this Dutch touch, for example, and I apologize for not being Dutch today. I wore a tie to try and do something.
Probably it cannot be tomorrow.
No, either.
Not today and not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow, well. But, you know, you have Dutch guests and you relate the content of what's going on in this program to real lives, and that's important. So the Dutch ministry is wonderful. In fact, it's so good that 6 months ago we had our first ever international ministry conference, not at Garden Grove, not at the Crystal Cathedral. We brought it here to Holland because we wanted to show the other international ministries what could happen. They were impressed and they went away empowered to do something better, and they all are. It's fantastic. I think you're doing a super job. God has really used this ministry in this country in a mighty way. You know, God chooses the right people when he wants the ministry to go forward. And he sure has done it in this country.
Thank you for so many friendly words. And thank you for your leadership. And we're very happy and hope that you come back soon. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. U heeft het gehoord. Wereldwijd is Hour of Power actief. En daar zijn we natuurlijk uitermate blij en dankbaar voor. En het koor van de Crystal Cathedral slaat daarop aan met een prachtig lied. Het is geboren in Rusland. En Donnoe gaat het introduceren.
Christianity came to Russia in the 10th century. It's a long time ago. And what evolved was some of the most beautiful church music of all the world. And the master composer of the Russian church music was Pavel Chesnikov. He wrote over 500 anthems. I know of no composer who wrote that much music for the church. Then when Stalin came into power and boarded up the churches, actually blew up some of the churches, including Christ the Savior Cathedral, to which Chesnikov attended, he was so depressed he self-imposed a silence and never composed another song. He died in 1944, never living to realize the day when the churches would reopen and his glorious music would once more be sung, as we will do today. He chose the words for this anthem very carefully. He says, "Let thy Holy Spirit come upon us on earth." He didn't say, "Let thy Holy Spirit come upon we who are Christians or we who are Russians." He said, "Come upon us on earth, the Holy Spirit on all souls of the earth." A spirit of generosity on his part. We would like to sing this in the style of Russian church music, which is unaccompanied, no organ, no orchestra, and in the rich tradition of Russian singing, and dedicate it to our brothers and sisters in Russia who watch The Hour of Power on Channel 1 every week.
Yeah.
this ministry is going to be around on planet Earth on television for the next few hundred years at least. Thank you. What can I give you today? Something that I have never given to you before. It's a sentence. The concepts may not be new, but the sentence is, and the placing of the words are very significant. The text is first from Jesus. Luke 18, verse 1. Jesus said, "Men ought always to pray and not lose heart."
Wow!
And out of that, I've taken a theme in one sentence. The theme is applicable to every person in this auditorium, whatever your level of education, whatever your age, if you're 5 or if you're 100, whatever your age. Here's the sentence. How to take a powerful, positive idea and turn it into a dynamic achievement. That's, after my years of writing and study, is where I'm at these days. Because I've met a lot of people that we've inspired to become positive thinkers and possibility thinkers. But they didn't take the idea, which was just in here, and turn it into a dynamic achievement. Somewhere along the line, the idea got lost or it didn't work out. How do you take a powerful, positive idea and turn it into a dynamic achievement? Well, of course, it starts with spirituality, prayer. Luke 18, 1. Jesus said it, pray always and never lose heart. Now, okay, I've applied that sentence in 6 words. I'll give them all to you up front. They could all be 6 chapters in the book. You finish writing it. Number 1, think. Just the word think. The second, I'll come back to that. The second word is test the idea. Third word is try it. The fourth word is tackle it. The fifth word is track it. Don't lose it. And the sixth word is trust God. Never give up. Think of the 6 words, each a chapter. Think. You say, if you got a powerful, positive idea, you already got it? Not necessarily. It's an idea passing through your brain. That's all that it is at the beginning. And ideas, some of the most powerful, positive ideas are not in your brain but a split fraction of a second. It was said years ago, when I was into the psychology studies after graduation, that an average of 10,000 ideas go through the average human brain in one day. I think today that could be more like 30 or 40,000 ideas because you have so much more input. So what do? You don't have time to grab them all. You don't even have time to prioritize them all, evaluate them, think. That's just one word because you've got to hold on to that idea. Clem Stone, one of the greatest success people in the world, who gave 7-figure gifts more than once to this ministry and was once the richest man in the United States. And I had his funeral a few years ago. Clem Stone would give his motivational speech, and his last word is, finally, my last word to you, he would say, if you want to succeed, think. He'd walk off. Think. 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 You'd hear it still yell it going down the steps. Think. Think. We tend to be emotional. I won't go into that. Think. Maybe you better put it on a piece of notepad. Maybe you need to have a special slip in your Bible. I don't know, but think. Don't, or otherwise, you'll be a reactionary. And almost always, it's a negative reactionary, not a positive reaction. Because the idea is great because it's probably impossible today, or somebody would be doing it. We formed the first Church Growth Institute about 36 years ago, I guess, but it was the first Church Growth Institute on this campus. And ministers came. We said, to be a success, ask the question, find a need and fill it. Oh, you know the graduates. And we went into television, and they went on into building churches bigger and stronger than we would ever become. They would put the money into their buildings and programming. We put it into television. Why TV? We asked the questions. Would it be a great thing for God? Yes. Would it help people who are hurting? Yes. Is anybody else doing it? No. And became the world's first televised church service. Think. Number two, test it. Ask the right questions. That's how you test something. Ask the right questions. We've done that for 51 years here. Would it be a great thing for God? I got to get a yes. Would it help people who are hurting? Got to get a yes. Is anybody else doing anything about it? No. Then I'll try it. Secret of success is find a need and fill it. Ask the questions. And more than you realize, your ego will be dealt a severe blow just by asking a question from other people and listening to them. And is there a need for this product? Who needs it? Think, test. All these six words begin with the word T. Take them down. Number three is then try. If it passes the test, you thought about it, you tested it, now try. Your greatest problem at this stage in any idea turning toward an achievement is inertia. Because when you try, people are going to hear about it. Yeah. That's scary. Because you put your ego on the line. Your name is on the can. Others can run away and walk away, but you can't. I've lived through that. You have no idea the emotional scars I have in my memory system. And I've tried to turn the scars into stars. But try. Start. Gotta get rid of inertia. Start small. Think tall. Start with nothing. But then think in terms of 40 and 50 years. How to take a powerful idea and turn it into a tremendous achievement. Think positively. Test carefully. Try in actuality. Beginning is half done. Now, test it, try it. Now, tackle it. Tackle it. Because as soon as you try, you're going to run into problems that you didn't imagine. I'll never forget. In fact, it's only the last few weeks I had the insight. Guess what? This may sound so non-humble, but I think you'll agree when you hear the story. We helped put a man on the moon. We did. Let me tell you. I got into this possibility thinking, wrote a few books, and I made a possibility thinker's creed, made a big poster out of it. And it says, the possibility thinker's creed, big letters, when faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I will keep on striving until I climb over, find a pass through, tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn the mountain into a gold mine with God's help. Okay? Got a call one day. One of my dear friends, Walter Burke, he's president of McDonnell Douglas at the time. He said, Bob, yeah, Walter. Bob, you have any of those posters left? Sure. Can I come over and get one? Sure. He said, I just hung up with President Kennedy. Really? He said to me, Walter, I've decided to put a man on the moon. Now, we all know that's impossible, so we don't have to waste time telling me that. It's just some problems we got to solve, and it'll be possible. We need a rocket big enough to break away from gravity and put the man on the path to the moon. And I can't do that without you, Walter Burke, and McDonnell Douglas. And Walter says to me, that's why I'm calling. I need one of those posters, Bob. I want to put it on the wall behind my desk. I want to keep it there until the man walks on the moon. So he came over, got the poster, went back, nailed the big thing behind his desk instead of a pretty picture. And it was there, and he never took it down until the man walked on the moon. Think. Test it. Try it. Tackle it. Take that impossible problem. And as Walter Brooks said to me, no problem is ever a problem. It's always a collection of problems. Maybe time, maybe relationships, maybe money, maybe technical know-how. But it's always a collection. So what you've got to do is break it up into all the pieces and divide the pieces to the people in the world who are best able to solve that piece. Till you land up with only one piece left, and that gung-ho, everything is on that. And you'll break it. You'll make it. Think it, test it, try it, tackle it, track it. Oh, the trouble with people that can do what I'm asking you to do is they get too many good ideas. And they come to you because they know you're an achiever. You'll listen. And you have to learn to say, I can't handle that now. Track it. How do you take a powerful, positive idea and turn it into an dynamic achievement? Think, test, try, tackle, and track it. Keep it where it belongs in the priority scale. The sixth word is trust. Finally, trust God. Wow. We've done that for some years, and I've trusted you people. But I really trusted people that have been here, that have built this, and they're in heaven today. I no longer get their tithes. We no longer get their offerings. We're looking at a totally new generation. People. I'm asking you, if you're not a tither, I'm trusting you to tithe. I can't fail, and I don't want you to fail. My children all were raised on this. And one time, we were babysitting the four sons of my daughter, Sheila. And Marvella and I were babysitting, and we saw eight glasses with money in it. And we asked, what's that? Well, those two glasses belong to Jason, those two belong to Christopher, those two belong to Scott, those two belong to Nikki. Oh, but they all got money in. Some of them don't have much money, but the others have quite a bit of money. What's it all about? Oh, they said, our parents taught us to tithe. And they gave each of us two glasses and said, anytime you get money, you take a tenth of it and put it in God's glass. That's his glass. And you take 9/10 of it, put it in your glass. Man, wow. So what they did, they gave them the glasses. Then they gave each boy 10 pennies. He said, put 1 penny in that glass, that's God's glass. Take 9 pennies and put them in your glass. They did. Then they gave them each nickels, 10 nickels. A nickel for God, 9 nickels for you. And then they upgraded it to dimes and gave each of them 10 dimes. One dime, God's glass. The other 9, they're yours. Well, we're looking at it. Arvella says to them, but, you know, God doesn't have much. You know, your glasses. Look at all the money in your glass. Why doesn't God have more? And they all said, he doesn't ask for any more. He doesn't ask for much. He lets you keep almost all of it. That's tithing. And I'll tell you, it works in all of life beyond what you know. You say, what does that illustration have to do with tithing? Nothing to do with money. Let me tell you the illustration. Today, Jason, number one, is in law school. I wouldn't be surprised if he runs for president someday, and I don't know if I want to be dead or alive if that happens. And the second son, he's in theological seminary. Wow. Another grandson running for the ministry, Christopher. And then the third one, Scott, he's in law enforcement. Got a great goal. Keep this country at peace. We're going to need good legal and police services. The fourth one, Nikki, he's studying to be an architect. He applied and was accepted to the 5 leading architectural schools in America, and he accepted the one at USC. Great school. It's where some of the greatest architects have graduated. He loves it. Top of the class, I think. If I'm wrong, don't correct me. Those are my 4 grandsons from 1 family. They're driven by faith. Where did they learn that faith? Where did I learn my faith? I learned it. But you don't forget it. That's how you spend your money. And you live on the results. Hey, what are your goals today? I'll give you one. If you've been an atheist, make a decision. Become a believer. If you're a Christian, make a decision. Set a goal to become one of the most beautiful human beings your friends will ever meet. Wow. If you're a churchman, make a decision to tithe. Stop debating it. The answer is obvious. Talk to the people who tried it. May God love you always and forever. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it's been a good morning. Thank you that we've been challenged. And keep on challenging us to be more than we can be and to be more beautiful than we've ever imagined. In Christ's name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Zo zijn we gekomen aan het einde van deze dienst vanuit de Crystal Cathedral. Ik vond het geweldig wat dominee Schorre, dit was echt een typische dominee Schorre preek, aan het einde zei: vertrouw op God. Je kunt van alles beginnen, maar als dat vertrouwen ontbreekt, dan zijn je ideeën, ja, die kunnen sneuvelen. Heel fijn dat je gekeken hebt. Aanstaande vrijdag is het Goede Vrijdag en zondag is het Pasen. Nou, als je zegt, ik weet niet wat dat betekent, want het zijn hele belangrijke dagen op de christelijke kalender, kijk dan ook volgende week zondag, want dan hoopt dominee Wichelen Tamboer, predikant van een van de snelst groeiende kerken in Nederland met heel veel jongeren, te vertellen wat de betekenis van Pasen is. Ik vond het geweldig dat je hebt gekeken en hopen dat we je volgende week weer mogen verwelkomen bij Hour of Power. En u natuurlijk ook. En in het bijzonder wil ik de mensen groeten die ziek zijn en die vandaag veel troost en steun ondervinden van dit programma. Mogen God u rijkelijk zegenen en genezen. Tot de volgende week bij Hour of Power.